Big up to Smokey J.
Yeah.
I see you.
Yeah.
Doc PLC.
Yeah.
Sweetness. Renegade.
Yeah.
Drill.
Yeah. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros.
Bears,
brews, and the bros.
Yeah,
bears, brews, and the bros. Fun with a shoe with them poles. Keep it real smooth with them hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Bears, brews, and the bros. Fun with a shoe with them poles. Keeping it smooth for you hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Yeah, get paid. Going against the grain. Push your hard line. Like Renegade. Page and Doc. Time to operate. Nothing sweet when the sweetness debate. Yeah, yeah, you know the drill. Stack more paper. Major players. Led by the fornicator. Smoking Jay. He fucking the game up. Came up. Dropping fire since day one. Yeah, it's boozing the bros. From where they shoot with them poles. Keep it real smooth with them hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Bears, boozing the bros. From where they shoot with them poles. Keeping it smooth for you hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks.
Yeah,
bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros.
Tap in, be sure to subscribe. Smash that like button. Drop a comment. Yeah.
Welcome back to Bears, Brews, and the Bros. It's your boy Smoking Jay up in the house with my bros. We got Sweetness, we got Renegade, we got Drilly, and this week we got the plays and fades for the week two. And yeah, man, yo, before we dive in, because we're gonna do a little bit of a recap from last week. How y'all doing? How my brothers doing?
We're doing real good, man. You know, week one is in the books. We are, you know, going into week two, and I mean, just for my sake, I hope I do better than my first week of the plays and fades of the week, because it wasn't that good. You know, I called a few players, but we'll get into that later. But we ready to go, man. Week two, we're in motion. Let's get it.
All right. Renegade, what up, bro?
I'm feeling good, Brody. How you doing?
Man, dog, I got, man. Ready to get the people what they need to win their weeks, bro, for sure, dog.
I'm thirsty for Thursday. That's what I'm thirsty.
Man, this is gonna be fun. Drilly, man. What up?
What up, big dog? Man, I say all the rest of the crew, man. We out here, man. Like I said, week one in the books. Don't hit that panic button yet. Only 1-1 in my leagues out of 5. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't crying about it, bro. I'm fucking ready to just go ahead and motherfucker move on to week two. Thirsty Thursdays, here we come.
Yes, sir. So we're gonna go ahead and give everybody one play and one fade for the week. We're going to do a quick little recap. I know Renegade wasn't on a show last week, and we kind of got into it in the pre-show about his boom and bust post versus a play and fade, but it's all good. We're going to include his booms or busts for this, you know, just for the whole purpose of this exercise, I guess you could say. My biggest fails on the plays were actually both of my quarterbacks. I had Jimmy G and Baker Mayfield. Both of them won the games, but they didn't win in fantasy. 16 points, both of them. Drilly came through with Kirk Cousins and Darnold as a play, and both of them balled out. They did pretty good, 22 and 21 points, respectively. Brody over there, Sweetness, you had Trevor Lawrence and Teddy Two Gloves, Teddy Roosevelt, 24 and 20 points, respectively. And then Brody, with his booms, he had Brady and Hurts, 31 and 28 points. Man, you guys definitely did your thing with the quarterbacks. I did not. Let's go to the fades. I faded Tua and Wentz, 17 and 18. Drilly faded Mac Jones, who had 15. Jameis Winston had 31. That's the one that stands out the most. Sweetness for you, you had Danny Dimes and Jared Goff, and they both did pretty good, especially Goff, believe it or not. Goffle, 22 and 31 points there. Brody faded Tua and Carr, Renegade did, and Carr did. He did good because, you know, with OT, he had 25 fantasy points. Tua only has 17. So, you guys, should we just run through everything right now? Just get out.
I count mine as a fail, though. I thought he was going to do worse. I thought both of them were going to do worse, to be honest. So, I counted mine as a dud on those.
I got you. I got you. Well,
I'll give you the Derek Carr.
I'll give you the Carr one for sure. For sure. But one actually, two, order. Yeah, you were one for two there. But yeah, okay. So at the running backs, I'm just going to go at what stands out. You know, I'm looking over here. Brody had Joe Mixon. Renegade did on his booms. We had 25 points. I had Miles Sanders, 17 points. You had Gus Edwards. That's how you guys know. This was like right before that shit popped off. That shit sucks. Yeah, but of course.
That's a scratch.
You don't count that. I had Trey Sermon. But that's the same thing. It was before we knew he was, not activated. So to me, that's a scratch. How did Kareem Hunt and Chase Edmonds do, Sweetness? Because I don't have that right. I totally skipped that shit.
I mean, I count that as a plus. I think Edmonds did around 13, 14.
Edmonds had 14.
And Kareem Hunt, if I'm not mistaken, did like 17, 16, around there.
Okay.
Kareem Hunt, 17, yep.
That ain't bad. Yeah,
he did great.
That ain't bad. Roster,
Drilly,
I know he had a TD.
Drilly had Mike Davis as a play. I don't think he did too good, right? Sweetness, I know you have
him. No, he didn't.
I had him as a bust.
He had like 9 points, I believe, somewhere along those lines.
Yeah, gotcha. I had Leonard Fournette up there too. He only had 10. So, yeah, there you go.
My bust for all the Jets running backs, you guys, I said fade him because we don't know which one's going to come out and be that lead dog yet. So they all busted. Carter, 3 points. Ty Johnson, 3.6. And Coleman had 2.4. So I was good there. Drilly, oh, man. How could you even show your face around anymore? You fucking told everybody to fade DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. They only finished number two and number four for the week at 31 and 26 points. Or 26.
Yeah, damn,
I'm going to say Swift this week, Shay.
And all this other shit, man.
I'm with you, Drill. I'm gonna carry it back to back weeks with the Swift. That was tough.
Brody said to fade Connor and either Zach Moss or Singletary, that whole backfield, and that was not bad at all. Good calls. Renegade was definitely fading Mike Davis. Henderson as well. I think Henderson did decent though, right?
He did decent. He finished like 17.
No big thing. One for two ain't too bad at all. Man, receivers that boomed. I hit this one on the head. I had Corey Davis, Antonio Brown, 26 and 25 points. Drilly, you had Cole Beasley. Do you have anybody else or just him?
I had just him. He put a 14 on the 14. Week, though. So, that was straight for a WR2, you know what I'm saying, or at least a flex spot. I started him.
Yeah, Sweetness, Devontae Smith, and Robbie Anderson, 19 and 14 points. Renegade had Debo with 33 points and Mike Evans with just 5, so 1 for 2 there. I see a trend with you, Brody. I see a trend with you over there. 1 for 2s.
What do you call my wide receivers? Is that a 2 for 2? Is that a hit? I mean, they're not,
No, that's definitely, some good plays. You know, people had questions about Robbie Anderson and Devontae Smith, and you gave him the green light, and I think you're happy with at least 14.7 and 19.10 for sure. The fades, I had Aguilar. I was wrong. He had 18 points. Drilly had Emmanuel Sanders, only 9. Brody had Jaden Waddle and Juju, 16 and 9. And Renegade had Devontae Parker and Galladay. That's 12 and 10. And that's big because Galladay, with the whole thing with the injury, they had those questions. People were asking. So that was some good stuff right there. And at tight ends, the biggest thing here, honestly, is Sweetness telling people to not play, to fade Gronk, who had 29 fantasy points. You knew it was coming. Shout out Renegade.
I was watching this game with Drilly, and I told him that was the first and last time I will ever fade Gronk. So, my apologies to Gronk, but, he did his thing, and that's the last time. I should have known the GOAT's throwing him the ball. He doesn't have a choice but to catch some of those balls either sometimes. I know you guys saw that game, and it was just like right there. So.
Way to make the excuse.
It's your dad's best
friend. He did adjust good on that blitz, though, on that blitz package, and the boom. You know what I'm talking about? On that blitz.
He released the brush right through the middle. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Absolutely.
So Drilly did really good with Herndon. That's 0 points. And Renegade Gesicki as his fade, 0 points. Good shit. So we're going to dive in, man. Let's go. We're going to go with the quarterbacks. I'm going to go up first. I'm going to go with the play and then the fade. And my first play for this week, even though it hurts for me to say this, but it's got to be Joe Burrow. Burrow up against the Bears. You know, we saw it firsthand. We saw our secondary get decimated. We saw our line not produce enough pressure. You know, it's just the offense is too much with the Bengals. All that coming at you with T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd. You got Joey Mix out of the backfield. All the weapons Joe Burrow needs to succeed is there. I think he's going to do his thing. I think he's going to have a great fantasy week. He's going to be 20-plus fantasy points for sure. He's my play of the week. Derek Carr is my fade of the week. I know he did pretty decent. He didn't do too bad at all. But on the road versus Pittsburgh, I think Pittsburgh's going to have something for him. I don't think he's going to be able to play that well. So I'm going to have to fade him this week. He doesn't really have any real weapons besides Waller. I think these receivers got to step up and prove that they could actually help out. I know Hunter Renfrow is something nice for the slot, but he's not somebody that's going to take over games. So you need some help besides Waller. And I don't think Carr is that type of quarterback to make everybody else better. So he is my fade. Burrow is my play.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not super down on Carr. We just saw him do it against a really good Baltimore defense. But they are in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh just did their thing against Josh Allen. So, you know, we'll see. I like the calls. I think they're really good calls.
Yeah, I'm with it. I like it, too.
Who's got next up on these quarterbacks?
Renegade.
Okay, I got Baker Mayfield as my play. Last week, he went 21 for 28, 321 yards. He didn't get none through the air. He threw one pick at the end. You see that costly pick to end the game. You know, he was trying to throw it out, but the defender made a great play, hooked his legs, turned into a pick. I expect Baker to ball out in this one. This is against the Texans, man. This week, a bunch of bums over there. You know what I'm saying? And these dudes are hungry. Cleveland is hungry, man. They're out for heads this year. And, you know, I think they should have beat the Chiefs. One costly mistake. But it is what it is. They made a big play. But the Browns are putting people on notice this year. OBJ is out in this one. Peoples Jones, I expect him to step up. What's that rookie number 10?
Schwartz.
Anthony Schwartz.
Him as well. I expect him to ball out. And I got Landry balling out as well. I just expect this to be a whole blowout right here, and they're going to run it up, and everybody's going to get some numbers. They're going to pad it up. Baker's going to probably throw for four touchdowns, hopefully no interceptions, but I see one up on there too as well. So if you guys are hurting for a quarterback or something, you guys need one, play Baker against the Texans. You know, he's going to ball the fuck out. And my fade is Matt Ryan, man. This dude – I don't know what to say, man. Last week against the Eagles, 21 for 35, 164 yards only. 164 yards. Wow. Zero touchdowns, zero interceptions. He made me like an idiot when I told people to play Pitts, even though it was fucking like so obvious to play Pitts. He still kind of popped. Like he was a bum. Everybody was a bum on that team. That line is a whole
trash.
That line is a whole mess. They drafted a lineman for nothing because you seen that picture on Instagram. I don't know if you see a Matt Ryan laying down on the ground, and the lineman. I guess he said on the draft day, draft me and your quarterback won't get hit. And they made that picture right. Yeah, I forgot his name. Merrifield or something. I forgot what the heck his name is, but that lineman terrible as hell. That whole line sucks. He sucks. Matt Ryan's a bum. I had him in dynasty. I still got him in dynasty this year. Last year I played him a couple times. He was bum as fuck. This dude is not. He's never gonna show up for you guys. He's gonna show up when he's on your bench. He's a bum.
Thank God they passed up on motherfucking Justin Fields. Shout out the Falcons.
Yeah, man, he made really pedestrian. He looked pedestrian as hell. Everybody in this team is like not relevant no more fantasy wise. No more Julio Jones. There's no more yardage. You could tell in the stats, 164 yards in 35 attempts. That's horrible, man. I don't know what else to say. Do not play this dude at all.
Yeah, against a subpar defense like Philadelphia, you expect them to go and do better than that. And now he gets to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, yeah, we don't need to talk about that defense because we know how good they are. And with the start, Baker Mayfield, I do like it. The only thing I do worry about is if they run it up to a certain point and they just have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt handle business and Baker Mayfield just becomes somebody that doesn't have to go that crazy. But then again, you have the other side where he can go crazy because
they're gonna go crazy. They're upset. Yeah. They're upset, man. They're gonna go crazy. They're gonna stomp these dudes' heads in, man. They should have won that game and they lost. They got a bitter taste in their mouth and they won a W and they're gonna make sure they get a W and they're gonna chomp these dudes in half. I guarantee a blowout in this one. And the Texans ain't gonna surprise nobody.
For sure, for sure. Jilly, what you got? Who's your start? Who's your play? Who's your fade?
Oh no, here we go. No, man. My play for the week is definitely Teddy Bridgewater versus Jacksonville. What I got here, he put up 24 fantasy points against the Giants, man. 36 attempts, 28 completions, 264 yards, 2 tutties, and rushed for 19. And I think if Houston balled out on Jacksonville, Denver definitely fucking will. I know they lost, you know what I'm saying, Jerry Jeudy, but there's definitely way more weapons over there for him to use in Jeudy's absence. And, man, overall, Teddy Bridgewater to me just looked fucking great. He looked great. Looked like he was having fun.
He was balling.
He was fucking scraping away from the pile, got his helmet knocked off on a late hit in a penalty hit while he was on the ground, was smiling and shit, man. I loved it. Went and picked him up off the waiver wire just in case, you know, a little backup for Josh Allen. I got Sam Darnold in the slot, but who knows what could happen if Teddy Bridgewater can get a good connection and keep going the way he's been going or the way he did in week one. I see beautiful things to come for the Denver Broncos offense. And against Jacksonville, man, to let Houston run that up on you and just having a Brandon Cooks over there, you know what I'm saying? And Denver having the plethora of weapons that they have, they should really shred them the fuck apart. So I'm with that. And then, I just picked both opposing quarterbacks. My fade of the week is Sunshine, Trevor Lawrence against motherfucking Denver. And I know what people say, like, man, this motherfucker put up 34. Like, yeah, why would you fade him? I said, if you have another quarterback in there, I would fade him, bro. Because motherfucking Denver's defense held the Giants to motherfucking just 7 points, motherfucking all the way to the end of the fucking fourth quarter, where Daniel Jones was able to go ahead and just run it in the red zone right there while they were in the red zone. That's a much tougher defense than motherfucking Houston. The pressure is going to be coming at Trevor Lawrence. You know what I'm saying? If DJ Chark is going to drop balls and LaVisca is going to be the only one running around over there, I just don't see the production coming out again this week, just like it did in Houston, man. It's big. You know, we all said that, you know, Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence, I mean, you know, he's going to go through his little rookie woes and shit like that. You know, till the timing gets down, till everything gets, you know, till people get familiarity and all that with Sunshine, bro, over there. I just can't see it happening against Denver. I don't see another 34-point fantasy game, bro. Not against Denver that just held the Giants down to the way they did. So
that's how much Lawrence had last week?
Yeah, 24 fantasy points.
Oh, 24.
Oh, I thought you said 34. I was like, what?
Yeah, I thought it was.
He was struggling at first.
Where?
Yeah.
He had 3 picks.
Yeah, he had 3 picks. But
to throw
3 picks and 24 fantasy points. But look at the matchups though.
That's
it's a big
garbage.
Yeah, exactly. That's that Blake Bortles shit. So now all he's right. gonna go up against a tougher defense. You know, he's gonna get tested in this one. And Urban Meyer, I don't think we could trust him yet. I don't think his own players trust
another
him.
Another college coach.
Yeah, exactly. Sweetness, what up? What you got?
What up? So yeah, one more thing about that. One more thing about that Trevor Lawrence, man. He's the new age fucking Jameis Winston, 3 for 3. You know, I see some there in the making. I'm going to the next 30 for 30 coming your way. You heard it here first.
Yes.
Here we go, man. My play of the week. My boy, Jalen Hurts, the pride of Oklahoma, man. He draws the Niners in the Philly home opener. And the Niners may not be the most ideal matchup for quarterbacks, but I like it. I love what I saw from Jalen Hurts. He was very efficient in game one, was 27 for 35, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. This offense with a healthy offensive line, a healthy Booby Miles Sanders, Gainwell to back him up, some capable receivers on the outside and some tight ends that could get it done as well. I just feel like, you know, this game is going to be more high scoring than not. I don't think that the Niners could hold down that Philly offense. Obviously, they weren't able to do it to Detroit, and we could call it garbage points or letting off the pedal or whatever you guys want to consider it. I think that Jalen Hurts and that offense is very capable of scoring on anyone, actually. So, like I said, with the offensive line that's healthy and all those pieces around Jalen Hurts, he's already a guy I liked, but now I like him even more because of everything going on around him, including his coaching staff. So that's my play of the week against the Niners. My fade of the week is going to be Big Ben, the rapist, against the Raiders. I know the Raiders are not your typical defense that you stay away from, but they did get to Lamar Jackson three times. Lamar Jackson is a very elusive quarterback. Big Ben is the polar opposite of what you consider a quarterback that can escape or extend a play. Those days are over. In that first game, Big Ben was very sloppy. Some targets that he threw to like Deontay, Claypool, even Juju, they were just bad, not on point. I see him making big mistakes, folding under pressure. That offensive line is super suspect. And yeah, I just think Big Ben is washed the fuck up, man. His clock is ticking, and it's ticking fast, man. He's my fade of the week, super fade.
So what, you're telling people to stash Haskins or what?
Hey, man, do what you got to do.
Hey, that was my bold prediction.
If you're in a deep league, if you're in a deep league and you have Big Ben for some ridiculously stupid reason, go stash Haskins. You know, we're in a 14-team super flexi, and if that's what it takes, man.
Shout out to SBI.
Shout out to SBI and all the guys, man. But, yeah, if that's what it takes, yeah, the deeper the league, the more you go look for Haskins, bro.
Yeah, that fade is pretty good. There's a huge difference between the Raiders last year and this year. And like you said, that defensive front right there against a weak Steelers O-line, you know what I'm saying, a young Steelers O-line at that, definitely going to give Big Ben and Najee Harris a little bit of some problems, you know what I'm saying? That pressure is definitely going to be there.
We saw the kid, Max or whatever his name is, he was going in.
Max Crosby
had a lot of quarterback hits. Max Crosby had a lot of quarterback pressures. And then, you know, towards the back end, we got the
Nazi, he was a kicker.
Kid comes in from behind. He comes in and he strips Lamar Jackson, you know, and that's just what he does. You know, that's what he likes to do. So, those are my plays and fades for the quarterback, man. I'm loving it.
Got you. I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to keep it moving. We're going to go with the running backs. I got Javonte Williams as my play of the week. At Jacksonville, the Jaguars just gave up 140 yards to the freaking Texans, bro. I mean, we're talking about the Texans. The Texans is like the team you make fun of nowadays, like straight up with everything that's been going on, the trades they've made, trading away Nuke and then bringing in washed up David Johnson. And then this whole thing with Watson and all this shit is like, bro, Javonte is going to ball out in this game. I know Melvin Gordon had a day. He had a 70-yard run and a touchdown, and that's nice. And that's some nice trade bait right there. That's some nice, hey, Baltimore, you need a running back? Hey, yo, San Francisco, you need a running back? Boom, we got Melvin Gordon. You see he's fresh, right? Boom. Javonte, I'm telling you, for the rest of the year, this is going to pop off. But especially in this week, he's going to have that opportunity again to pop off versus a team that sucks in the Jacksonville Jaguars. He had, once again, 14 rushes last week in his debut. I feel like that's going to be his floor week to week. And that's all you're going to need against a weak-ass defense like the Jaguars. My next fade is it's just Mike Davis versus the Tampa Bay Bucks. We know what the Tampa Bay does against these running backs. I think I saw a crazy stat that they're averaging like somewhere around 30 something rushing yards per game running backs against the Bucks, and that's just crazy, bro. Like don't even think about starting any running backs against the Bucks, especially not one like a Mike Davis in a struggling offense in Atlanta with a whole new coaching system. We don't even know exactly what they're trying to do 100%. So I'm not trusting it. Mike Davis could take a seat. And, you know, and that's where I'm at with it, bro. I don't know how you guys feeling about that.
I like it, man. I don't trust Mike Davis at all this year. I'm not a Mike Davis guy. Fade his ass. Fade that whole team.
It's so crazy to say.
The fading, the fading Falcons.
It's so crazy to say, right?
Ooh, that's got a nice ring to it.
It's so crazy because, like, there was a time where, like, you're trying to get all the action from the Falcons. You try to, you know, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley.
You know, Ridley's going to get them targets. You know, PPR, he's going to eat for sure. But it's like.
But if they're shitty targets.
Are you going to go? How far are you going to go with Matt Ryan throwing you that shit? Like, only getting a buck. $1.64 a game. That I hope he don't get shit like that. So
yeah, not gonna cut it, man.
And if you're throwing like that, you definitely can't run. So
yeah, Javonte Williams is coming, bro. That's all I gotta say about that. Really, Javonte. I mean, the Mike Davis one, I completely agree with it. But the Javonte Williams stands out a little bit more. I think he's coming, bro. So
yes, sir.
We gonna see.
Yes, sir. All right, I'm gonna jump in with mine. Yeah, it's the same, basically the same as Brody with the same defense, Melvin Gordon. I'm just going to put it like this, just to jump on top of what Brody said. Melvin Gordon, Mark Ingram had 26 carries for 85 yards. If you put what Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon did last week, that's about 25 carries. I mean, Gordon alone had 11 carries for 101 yards, one touchdown, and a 70-yarder to ice the game and win the game. So, you know, they're going to be splitting the carries. You got the veteran, you got the young buck, the one that runs people down, the PPR guy, and the one that iced the game. So I think both of these guys are going to eat. The Texans are bums, just like the Jags. All these defenses you see, start these guys up. If you guys have questions, when do I start Melvin Gordon? When do I start Javonte? You can start both guys in games like this. They're both going to eat and they're both going to show out. And like you said, hey, whatever's high, ride the high hand, boom, trade bait. There you go. So that's my play right there. Melvin Gordon against the Jags. Last week he did that against the Giants. And then I got, I'm with my boy Drill on this one. I'm going to fade Swift. You know, I'm going to explain this. You know, I know he went off last week. He had 11 carries for 39 yards, zero touchdowns. But he had 8 receptions, 65 yards, and a touchdown. That touchdown was a good 30 yards. He had caught that bitch and he was gone.
He was gone, yeah.
My reasoning for this is I think the Packers are going to go out and they're going to blow these boys out. You know, they don't have – the Lions don't have a threat at the wide receiver spot. So, you know, Jair Alexander, how the fuck you say his name, he's going to lock down whoever's the talentedest guy there. The other guys, whatever. You know, the linebackers and the linemen are going to be strictly on the running back and the tight ends. Those guys are going to get locked down, which is Hockenson and Swift. So I could see Jamal Williams eating in this one. But I think Swift is going to get locked down. I don't believe he eats. If he does eat, it's going to be PPR wise. And I don't see him with a touchdown. You see, he didn't really do it last week on the ground. He had 11 carries and only 39 yards, no touchdown. Where he's going to strike is with the PPR, and he's not going to do that every week. I don't believe in this guy. And half of the time, he's sharing carries as well. So, you know, I didn't like that the split between him and Jamal Williams. If I'm taking a whatever round that he was going in, third round, I don't like that because people got his RB2, and he's more of a flex guy right now. So I'm not playing him as my RB2. As a flex, maybe. So I'm fading.
Yeah, I agree with you, Brian. One thing, too, if you have DeAndre Swift right now and you heard what Brody just said, honestly, I'm thinking about trading him. I'm trading him high right now because I feel like you said Jamal Williams is a real threat. This guy we saw in Green Bay, he would take that third down roll from Aaron Jones here and there. Like, that's crazy. Aaron Jones is a top five back. So if he's winning, if he could do that with Aaron Jones, what the hell you think he's going to be doing with Swift? They're splitting shit like 50-50 down the middle. Hey.
And Jamal Williams was looking like the back to own in that until Swift had that little touchdown. That's the only thing that they have to his defense. He had eight receptions for 65 yards. I mean, that's not a lot. He's not doing too much catching and falling down. Yeah. That touchdown saved his ass. That he had like a 30-yard, 35-yarder. But I'm
going
to drill. I'm going to fade his ass for another week. Because he got a motherfucking Detroit Lion logo on the side of his motherfucking helmet. So fuck you.
That's right.
Well, hopefully we get it right this week, bro.
Yeah, hopefully we get it right. Go,
but yeah, man, moving on to my motherfucking play of the week for running back. I'm going with my guy, Damian Harris. I know costly fumble at the end of the game. Bill Belichick's probably fucking super heated. Want to fucking punish him and everything else that you got to do. But when we look at the stats here, We're looking at 23 carries, 100 yards, and two receptions for 17 yards. Got the bulk of the carries over there in motherfucking in New England with the Patriots, bro. I think he has the potential against the Jets this week to definitely find the end zone. A concerning piece is James White getting all those receptions that he did. So it was money for him. It was like Damian Harris was doing more like on the ground, but then James White got more of the motherfucking that PPR feat with the passing and everything else that went on too. So you know what I'm saying? It's kind of dangerous. You know what I'm saying? I kind of got James White, you know, waiting in the motherfucking whims, you know what I'm saying, as a backup in some leagues to motherfucking Damian Harris. But I think Damian Harris is definitely a safe play against the motherfucking Jets. I think he'll learn his lesson. Get your fucking ball security up, big dog, if you want to keep your motherfucking job, because there's hungry motherfuckers waiting in the whims with James White and Ramondre Stevenson.
I was just about to say.
Coming up, though, too. I mean, I know Ramondre fumbled, too, as well. You know what I'm saying? But he has a little bit more excuse than Damian Harris does, you know what I'm saying, with the years in the league that he's had. But Damian Harris, when you look at him and you look at the tape and you look at him running, he looks fucking great. And I know Bill Belichick and everybody's not going to fucking look past that. Like, damn, when he hits the hole, he hits the fucking hole. You know what I mean? And I think it's a somewhat of a decent matchup against the motherfucking Jets. Yeah. And, you know, I'm expecting him to motherfucking eat. You know what I mean? So Damian Harris, man, he's been I know he only put up 10, but you know what I'm saying? He's still a for sure shot. At least he's not giving you 3-4 like my next guy here, who I'm feeding for the week. And it's fucking
segue.
It's fucking huge. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's been going through it. That's all I see over Instagram is everybody asking the big question: what do we do with Saquon Barkley? And as an owner myself, I am sitting the man down.
Damn.
I have to sit him down. And I know some people don't have the luxury of sitting him down. You know what I mean? With other players that they got. Like right now, I'm starting Leonard Fournette over him. That's who I got. But Leonard Fournette is fading. Is going against the fading Falcons in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying, bro?
You're trying to get the win with foreskin, huh?
Right, hey, get the win with Forston. I know it ain't playoff time yet, but you know, hopefully he could be regular season Lenny, you know, for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Well, I mean, Saquon Barkley, I mean, like I said, they limited his workload, bro. He looked kind of weak. I seen him limp a couple times. You know what I'm saying? When it came to the blocking, I seen him. I mean, those are big boys that he has to block against, those linemen and shit like that. And I seen it a little bit, you know, kind of favoring his knee a little bit. Now you got a quick turnaround, a Thursday night football against one of the best defenses in the motherfucking league. If Saquon put up 10, you know what I'm saying? Maybe even 9 or 10 fantasy points. Or you know what I'm saying? If I seen him just a little bit more involved, you know what I'm saying? I probably would have let that go and been like, hey, yeah, I got Saquon on the quick turnaround. But to put up 3, you know what I'm saying? It looked like they weren't doing shit in the banger, because even Devontae Booker only put up like fucking 3 or 4, I think, fantasy points too as well. You know what I'm saying? I'm not scared. A lot of people, look, that's my advice to you. If you ain't got nobody else, some shitty running back like a Tevin Coleman or some shit, obviously don't play him over Saquon Barkley. But if you got a Leonard Fournette, you got a Josh Jacobs, man, I'd probably even play Kenyon Drake. You know, seeing the workload that Kenyon Drake got on Monday Night Football against the Ravens, I would start him over Saquon Barkley until Saquon Barkley shows you something, or until we hear in the reports that he's 100% healthy. You know, me and Brody are watching motherfucking NFL Network, man. He's on an interview talking about it's not ideal with the quick turnaround and the injury that he has. So obviously he even knows that he's not 100% and that he doesn't feel comfortable running with the injury that he sustained last year in week 2 against the Bears, you know, the fucking Bears. No, but you know, it is what it is, bro. And like I said, if you got a motherfucker to back him up, go right a fucking head and sit him down. I'm okay with being wrong with this one. If he ends up snapping off and getting some shit, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Based on the performance last week and a quick turnaround, you got to play this smart. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to get you guys, you know what I'm saying, in the championships in these leagues. I know it's still early in a really long season this year, but you know, I wouldn't trade Saquon Barkley just yet. I would just hold on to him and motherfucking see what he could develop into. You know what I'm saying?
A little piece. I ain't mad at that, man. I ain't mad. This is the game that you let him on the bench. Show me to start you every week again.
Yeah, I think especially because of the especially because of the quick turnaround. I feel like this is a very valid argument, bro. Like straight up. Yep. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And if you guys have some backups or somebody in the waivers, you know, and you guys are still iffy, make sure you guys shoot those DMs over. We got you guys. We'll help you guys out. But yeah, I'm cool with that right there.
Yeah, with Damian Harris, man, I don't worry too much about James White's role. We kind of knew that coming into the season. I think every other running back that touched the ball for the Patriots on the ground, at least, didn't see it for more than 5 carries. So everybody else is pretty irrelevant.
He's the man. James White, he's the man.
Yeah, James White is your guy. PPR, don't worry about that. Damian Harris is going to get the groundwork. And, you know, I think Bill Belichick is going to stick with him for now until he proves him wrong again. This is back.
I think
who else are you going to go to? Yeah, but they both fumbled, and I'm going to go with my veteran back.
Absolutely.
To carry me out again. I'm not going to go with the rookie because he fumbled too. So, and he fumbled first. Yeah, no.
One thing we're noticing that's changing in the league, and in turn is changing in fantasy. We're seeing a lot of teams with at least 2 running backs that are very relevant. And they're relevant in real life, and now they're becoming relevant in fantasy. Whether it's because they split shit down the middle, like with the Lions, or because you have one guy that specializes in one role and the other in another role. Like, we're seeing this more and more. Cleveland, San Francisco, Detroit, you just mentioned right now, the Patriots. You know, these are all teams that have more than running. The Raiders. These are all teams that now it's like, wow, they got 2 RBs that one of them is probably more safer than the other. But the other one is still definitely at least flex worthy, and we're seeing this trend more and more now.
Yeah, I think I have one
way to go too. Running backs don't have a long shelf life lifespan in the league, and it's 17 games in the league now. We got to start realizing that. So they're gonna start trying to have these guys fresh during playoff time, and what better way to have 2 dog ass running backs?
Yeah, one that I might have the exception to that with this guy here, given the whole split thing and being able to flex him. I think you can actually RB2 this guy. But here we go. Chase Edmonds is my play of the week versus the Vikings. In a game I feel is going to be high scoring. We thought Arizona versus Tennessee was going to be high scoring. It was supposed to be, to my knowledge. But they're going against the Vikings in week 2. And, you know, even though they did keep their foot on the gas against the Titans, I feel like Chase Edmonds still could have done more. But I love the matchup. I think the Vikings could put up points. So the game script is going to favor Chase Edmonds as far as being able to be a pass-catching running back. He out-snapped James Conner in week 1, 38-35. We know that Chase Edmonds is the clear-cut PPR running back for the Cardinals. We know that. And James Conner is supposed to be the groundwork guy. And even with that being said, Chase Edmonds was still able to carry the ball 12 times for 63 yards. So if you can still carry the ball 12 times for 60 something yards and be the main PPR guy, let me get all that work. I mean, the 14 points in the game last week, fantasy wise, I think that was, you know, what he's going to give you most games this year, if not more. I think that was kind of like somewhere around his floor, but I think he can boom even better. He's kind of like one of those Darren Sproles type guys, and Kyler likes to go to him. I mean, we saw it catching balls out of the backfield. I'm loving some Chase Edmonds in this matchup versus the Vikings. Arizona, we know they're going to run it up. Obviously, based off of game 1, we saw that they don't care how many points they're up by. They're going to keep their foot on the gas. You know, a lot of teams should actually follow that because we saw some teams like the Niners go up crazy and then just let off the gas, and then the Detroit Lions almost come back and win the game. The Cardinals, they don't play that. They're going to go out there and they're going to run it up. So that's my play of the week, Chase Edmonds. My fade of the week at the running back. I'm going to get a lot of smoke for this one from Smoking Jay. But I got J-Rob the Mob. Yeah, man. He was able to carry the ball 5 times for 25 yards against the Texans. He got out-touched on the ground by, what's his name, Carlos Hyde. He carried the ball 9 times. And this isn't really about J-Rob because I really feel like he's talented. I know he's talented. He's a stud. We saw it last year. The kid's a stud. Now, it's more about his coach, Urban Meyer, being that college-minded dude that wants to do things his way, very stubborn. And a matchup versus the Giants, this team, the Jaguars, they don't have the best offensive line. And Urban Meyer doesn't even look like he trusts J-Rob. He's kind of leaning towards the Carlos Hyde way. I know J-Rob out-snapped Carlos Hyde as far as, like, total snaps, snap percentage or whatever you want to consider it. But I don't see him trusting James Robinson for I don't know what reason. James Robinson was relevant in the PPR. I think he caught a few balls out there. But he's my fade, especially against Denver, especially because Urban Meyer doesn't trust him. That's my fade of the week, man.
I don't know. I don't know if Urban Meyer right now, bro. Like, I'm really, like, I'm really, like, iffy about James Robinson because – not because, like you said, not because of James Robinson. It's never about the talent. It's more about the situation. And this situation is not the best right now. It's really not. So I understand why you want to fade him. I think you're a little bit early on that fade, though. I think that we got to wait and see how I would hope Urban Meyer learned his lesson after week one. And you need to put James Robinson as a focal point of this offense because you got a rookie quarterback who obviously is still learning the game. He's learning the NFL game. You need to lean on that rushing attack as a rookie quarterback. It's going to make your life easier. He threw three picks. You know, like, why? You're making him do too much. You need to make him do less. So when those times come where he has to throw the ball, you're actually making the defense think, oh, they might actually run it here. And they weren't doing that at all. So I really – and you saw James Robinson drop some passes, and he looked discouraged, bro. Like, I don't know if you guys saw some of that, but, like, he really looked like he didn't want to be there. And I think that has a lot to do with the coaching because the way he's being utilized for this offense. So I'm still going to roll J-Rob out there. But if you guys got other options, I'm not against this fade. I'm not.
Yeah, man, I can see where you're coming from with that, man. It just looked overall, man, Jacksonville's just got to get it together, I think, over there, bro. Just team coming out, a totally almost rebuilt team. You know what I'm
How
saying?
How you guys and feeling about the Chase Edmonds about. Play?
I love it.
Yeah, he's going to eat PPR-wise.
Yeah, I love Chase. I told you the other day, I feel like he's Nyheim Hines, but way more souped up, like straight up in that offense, too. You got to think about it. You're in the Arizona offense. They want to throw the ball. You know, the Colts, they want to run the ball. And Nyheim Hines still does work over there. So Chase is in a great offense for a PPR back for sure. So I like that call a lot.
And 12 carries on top. I'm loving that, man.
That's icing on the cake for sure, bro. All right. So I'm definitely going to keep this moving. We're going to go with the wide receivers. My first play, my play of the week at wide receiver is Callaway, man. Marquez Callaway, New Orleans Saints. I'm not hitting the panic button yet. We saw Jameis Winston be very, very efficient with minimal yardage, 100 and what, 50-something, 60-something through the air. Had 5 touchdowns, though. This game coming up versus the Panthers, with Marshawn Lattimore being out, I think the Panthers are going to be able to actually move the ball, and they have weapons. They have weapons in Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, Terrace Marshall, CMC. Like, I think they're actually going to be able to put up some points, and Jameis is actually going to have to throw that ball more. And Marcus Callaway was targeted heavy in a preseason, and I think this is a game where they're going to lean on him. And Carolina's defense doesn't scare me. I feel like Jameis is going to be able to do his thing, especially after what we saw him do last week with minimal pass attempts. I feel like that's going to go up. So I like Callaway. He's my play of the week. My fade of the week is Corey Davis. I know Zach Wilson likes him a lot, and I know I was all about him last week. But this week, you know, facing up against the Patriots know. They saw where all the targets are going. They saw who your end zone go-to guy is. So what does Bill Belichick do best? He takes away your best weapon. So that's what I feel like is going to happen in this game. I feel like Corey Davis is going to be X'd out. Let me see one of those three running backs do more than, 3.6 points in fantasy. Like, I think Belichick is going to dare them to run the ball. So that's my take with that. I got Callaway as my play and Corey Davis as my fade.
I like that Davis fade for sure. People was asking me on IG today about that when I was letting them know the same exact thing. You broke it down perfectly.
Hell yeah. You know,
People are hyping really hard on that first game off Corey Davis, man. Pump the brakes. It is Billy Belichick coming into town. Relax.
Sure. All right, well, I'll just jump in with mine, man. You heard me earlier say Baker, and I'm going with Jarvis Landry. This week, OBJ is out again. This week, my boy, get your knee right. I want to see you. Probably, he probably come back week 4 or 5. I don't know. But get healthy, brother. Landry, you know, he had 5. I know this team, they like to run heavy. They like to run heavy, but I still think they run heavy and then they play action fake, still go over the top. I think Landry could still eat. Last week, 5 receptions, 71 yards, no touchdown in the air, but he had 2 carries for, 13 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, he still gets his. They're still make plays for him. They're going to implement him in the playbook. You know, they run, and they hit you over the top. So I see Landry just, you know, I already said earlier, this is going to be a blowout and they're hungry and they coming for head. So I see Landry eating in this one. I see him about 9 receptions. He's going to see about 13 targets, I think. So
yeah, I love juice. I love juice. So, fire him up.
I'm gonna go on the opposite side, man. This Cook versus the Browns. Last week, he had 5 for 132 yards and no touchdown, and that was versus the Jags. Now, you know, this week it's not gonna be the same. The Browns, they're gonna.
Hey, you said Brandon Cooks, right? Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Brandon Cooks,
yep, yeah. So, you know, the Browns defense is nothing to play with. They came revamped this year, and they're ready to kill. You know, so. They only got one weapon, so that's the only guy you got. That's the one guy that you double his ass and, you know, yep. Start blitzing the fucks out of Tyrod Taylor. You know, that's all you got to do. Make him force throw that ball up. I don't see Cooks eating here at all. Everybody knows he has a good game, then disappears.
So high.
Yep, so high. I think this dude's going to be a huge dud, especially after the first week when everybody's seen him go off. It was the fucking Jags, man. Dog. Calm down. The Browns are going to shut his ass down. So those are my plays and my fades for this.
Yes,
week.
Sir. Hey, the Browns are fun to watch, man. I love that team. I love Landry. And it's Odell's like one of those guys. Like I see it like I'm relating a little bit to basketball, just a little bit. Like I really wish like Odell would have stayed healthy like that, like his whole career. Like that would have been so dope. And I kind of related to Derrick Rose in a way. Like, I really wish D Rose, you know, obviously we're from Chicago and we saw how much that hurt, you know, us and our franchise and our championship aspirations. So I kind of look at it like that, like OBJ is like, damn, what could it have been type thing. And hopefully
so I'm over here double hurting.
No, I know. Right. Well, you know what? It's not over for him. We saw what Derrick Rose doing in the NBA. It's not over. And OBJ, they said he was close in week 1, week 2, you know, they already said he's out and that's fine. Put him out in the field when he's ready to go. And Juice Landry is definitely a must start, a must play until then. And even past then, you know, but for right now, I love it.
We
love
see
that
what's
call.
Going on with Barkley and all that other stuff. So you don't want to rush OBJ on the field for no reason. You go out there and struggle, man. Come out when your mind is right, when your knee is right, whatever the case is, because he looks good in practice. So, you know what? Let's do it.
The Browns are Super Bowl ready, man, and there's no need to rush him. They can win without him. Save him for when
especially
it matters.
Especially against the Texans.
Let the kid get his body right, his mind right, and let him go when he's ready. Unleash him in due time. And I love the Jarvis Landry, 13 targets. I like that a lot. I mean, if he's able to do that, I'm all about it. Yeah, but fade Brandon Cooks, man. Like Brody said, it was the Jags. So we're going to tell y'all to pump the brakes again.
Yes, sir. Run with
it. Yeah, man. Rolling in it, man. My play for wide receiver, bro. You know what I'm saying? It kind of made some tiny error, bad management moves last week and not putting Christian Kirk, the explosive guy over there in motherfucking Arizona, putting up 24 fantasy points, 5 receptions with a little bit of fucking retargets that he got, 70 yards, 2 touchdowns, bro.
Yeah, he was getting loose. I kept seeing him on red zone, like, who's that?
Yeah, we seen
Herky, the play. And
he just had a solo interview with, you know, on NFL Total Access, bro, talking about he's trying to get 2 more tutties right now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Like, bro, honestly, like in my eyes, behind D-Hop, this should be the guy. You know what I'm saying, man? They're going against Minnesota, bro. We all seen Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. They had a fucking day against Kirk and the boys. You know what I'm saying? So I'm expecting for even more bashing when it comes to Kyler Murray, D-Hop, and motherfucking Christian Kirk himself, bro. Just an explosive player, can get loose, can get open. And I'm thinking he's going to be a definite headache for the motherfucking Vikings, bro. I definitely, this week, taking him off my motherfucking bench, putting him in there in my fucking flex play.
Who told you to start him?
This is a great matchup. Hey, let's not glorify yourself. No, fuck that. No, I give it to Sweet, though. He told me last week and shit. Like, nigga, I told you. You know what I'm saying? That I should have motherfucking listened. I forgot who else I had inside there.
It was Cole Beasley or Christian Kirk. Nah. And it was an easy pick.
It was Cole Beasley or Christian Kirk. Wait, look, this nigga remembers everything. bro.
Absolutely.
Definitely got to listen this time, bro. And definitely motherfucking put Christian Kirk in there, bro. So, to be pulling off two tutties in a motherfucking single game. Kyler Murray should know that, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking more. You see how Kyler Murray likes to run around and all this other shit. You know what I'm saying? He's looking for open players. The fact that Kyler Murray can extend the play gives Christian Kirk the time to motherfucking go ahead and get loose and be able to get that type of yardage. Bro, I mean, it was small. It was a small target share, but he did the most with it, bro. And it was beautiful, bro. I think he's just motherfucking explosive as fuck. And considering what Chase and T. Higgins did against Minnesota, bro, I think Kyler Murray and the boys and Christian Kirk is definitely a motherfucking a great play. I don't even have to flip the page. I'm going along with the motherfucking Jet Tate here, with Corey Davis, and let's just throw Elijah Moore right into that motherfucker. One reception for motherfucking goddamn negative motherfucking yards. The camp talk is not matching the motherfucking goddamn gameplay. You know what I'm saying? And here it goes. I'm sitting him on my bench until he proves otherwise. That's just plain and simple.
Yep.
Plain and simple. You're not going to be fantasy relevant coming up in this bitch making .7 motherfucking shit. Like, yeah, you had small targets coming at you, but you did the least fucking with it. It was fucking horrible. And now that you got Bill Belichick, that's probably, let's stop Corey Davis. Let's see if Elijah Moore can make something happen if that's going on. But as far as I'm hearing, there's a chance for Jamison Crowder, the boy, to come motherfucking over here and be available for motherfucking week two. So what does that say, to Elijah Moore owners and all that other shit? You know what I'm saying? We still got Corey Davis. Now we got Jamison Crowder. I think there's one more that might be coming back too. I forgot his fucking name.
Berrios was there. I think he was doing a little something.
Yeah, he had seven targets. Berrios. He had seven targets in that game.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, what do you do in a situation? You see .7. I know in deeper leagues, but these cats, we got Elijah Moore. We were hype off the camp talk, everything. We're like, yeah, man, we've seen him in his interviews, real confident dude. And it just didn't slide over to the motherfucking gameplay. We don't know what happens, but at the end of the day, being a fantasy manager, you got to make the motherfucking goddamn smart play. And right now, there's a plethora of wide receivers out there that are motherfucking giving you that money. You know what I'm saying? In the Christian Kirks, the Hunter Renfros of the league and everything else like that, bro. Definitely not starting a motherfucking Elijah Moore, bro. Fading the fuck out of him until he proves otherwise, bro.
Yeah, so. I think we're with you. We're with you with Elijah for sure. I think we're with you with Christian. You know, I'm with you with Christian Kirk. Everybody out there, you guys listening to Bears, Brews, and the Bros, you guys know how I am about Christian Kirk. That's my guy, man. But hey, we're not going to argue with this. You guys are good on this. I know I am.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, I'm good, man. We
Kirk-y yo.
Turn the page, baby. Turn the page.
Kirk-y yo all day. Man, so my wide receiver player of the week. Yeah, shout out Christian Kirk, man. No more bench for you. I got you, bro. Wide receiver, a player of the week, Mike Will made it. Mike Williams versus Dallas, man. A lot of people right now are up on him, and I'm one of them. I like the way he was looking in camp, and now he's looking healthy, man. He's looking really nice out there making snags. And I'm talking about Snags looking real nice out there with Justin Herbert. They get Dallas in week two. We saw Dallas be able to put up points against a very good Tampa Bay defense. I'm expecting them to be able to put up points against the Chargers as well. Mike Williams was able to get 8 receptions against the Redskins or the Washington football team, whatever you guys want to call
them. Watch yourselves.
Yeah, watch yourselves, man. 12 targets, only one less target than Keenan Allen. Oof. He was able to go over 80 yards and a score. 75% snap count, 25% target share in week one. Yeah, I'm all about Mike Williams, man. I think they're going to have to run it up. Clear-cut WR2 behind Keenan Allen, and he's able to get in the end zone. Yeah. I mean, when you're getting as many targets as Keenan Allen, and you're getting in the end zone, and you're getting over 80 yards, I'm rocking with you. And Justin Herbert at the helm, I'm loving that offense. I like them preseason. I'm still fucking with them, even though, you know, they did go against, like I said, the Washington football team is one of the toughest fronts in the league, and they're still able to do their thing. So, yeah, man, start Mike Williams. Don't hesitate. It's Dallas. They're not stopping them. Those cornerbacks are softer than a baby's ass. So, yeah, we're gonna go to
they lost to Marcus Lawrence, too.
There you go. Another hit. Losing a front guy. Now they're going to have even more time to get the ball downfield to those wide receivers.
Yes, sir.
Good call. So for my fade of the week, I'm going to go opposite of last week. This guy was my play, Robbie Anderson. I am going to fade him this week. He had one catch, I believe, and a touchdown. I know they're going against New Orleans, and they lost. Lattimore is hurt, but I really like that New Orleans front. I think they can get pressure on Sam Darnold. I think he's going to have to resort to the McCaffreys and the DJ Moore slot receivers, maybe a little bit of Terrace Marshall, but Robbie Anderson, at least for this week, doesn't cut it. He's just way too much of a touchdown reliant type of guy. He doesn't really get those. Robbie Anderson just doesn't get those targets that you want to see. He's definitely the boom or bust, the epitome of it. And yeah, I'm staying away. I'm just not rocking with him, man. I'm not rocking with the kid.
Who's Carolina playing? Carolina's playing
New Orleans. Yes, sir.
New Orleans.
I think that game is I could see him, you know, booming on a play just because of Marshawn Lattimore means a lot to that secondary, bro. So
is he officially out?
Yeah, he had surgery the other day.
He has surgery on that finger? What is mm-hmm. it?
Surgery or something. Yeah, he's out.
You seen Green Bay and Aaron Jones not being relevant. I'm gonna tell you right now, Christian McCaffrey is definitely gonna be relevant. So I don't know how that plays out and stretching that out, he's but out, you know,
relevant.
Ron, yeah. It's that stream thing though, you know what I'm saying though too. I don't know. It could be a DJ Moore day. I'm with you on it because I'm still expecting Terrace Marshall to break out soon too as well.
Oh yeah, I like that he got 6 targets over there.
Yeah, bro. So you know, it might be a good call, man. You know what I'm saying? Just to see who gets open up there. I don't know what's gonna happen, but yeah, that it might be the pressure, but then they might have to wait on it too. And the main factor in that game is fucking Christian McCaffrey, who's gonna be able to spread out the Saints defense. But yeah,
my real reasoning is, you know, one reception for 57 yards and a touchdown on 3 targets. Then you get the DJ Moore with 6 catches off of 8 targets. Terrace Marshall, 3 receptions off of 6 targets. I mean, all these guys are getting way more targets than him. He's just too much of a liability on the target share. He's got to get that play. He has to. And when you tell me that my wide receiver 2 or 3 or whatever, wherever you guys have him, needs to do that, I don't like the way that sounds. It's too much of a high risk, no reward type of thing. It's not even a low reward.
There's a reward. Come on, the guy caught one catch and had 14 points last week. Like that's nice. Like come on, man. You can't say it's not, but when you
he's a boomer bust.
Yeah,
like,
when you tell me my guy has to go out there and score a 50-yard touchdown, I just don't like the way it sounds, bro.
No, he doesn't have to. That's what he
last year. He was more reliable with Teddy Bridgewater. This year with Sam Darnold, he's back again to his Jets days where he is really back to
Adam Gase days.
Oh man, that's a great call. That is a great call. Adam Gase sprinkled that dust on him.
Oh my god, that residue.
that dock dust.
All right, let's go, man. Let's close this out.
Dust.
We're gonna go with the plays and fades at tight ends. I'm gonna go first, and I got Tonyan, man, the pride of McHenry, bro. Robert Tonyan actually went to the same high school as my son, so that's what's up. Sir. And I feel like he's go Warriors, yes sir.
Warriors McHenry Nation, West,
let's
baby.
Go, baby. And man, dog, I know he didn't have a good game last week. None of those motherfuckers did. All right, none of them did. And now against the Lions home opener, after Davante Adams in a passing game. For me, who I trust is Tonyan, and it was obvious that Rodgers trusted him too last year with all the touchdowns he caught. Yeah, like 10 plus last year, shit like that. Tonyan just came on the scene and boom, just like that. So versus the Lions, I do not like none of us. We already know. We even got to say they fucking suck. Tonyan is that guy. He's going to get that work and he's going to score touchdowns, man. The Packers are going to run up the score. They're pissed off. I feel like they're going to do it. My fade of the week is Juwan Man Johnson for the New Orleans Saints. I'm not doing it. I know he caught that touchdown. He only had two targets or something like that. Adam Trautman had six targets. He led the team in targets in that game. Yes, he didn't find an end zone, but if Juwan Man Johnson didn't find that fucking touchdown, he wouldn't be shit this week. We wouldn't even talking about him. Trautman, you follow the targets, and Jameis Winston is known for loving his tight ends. Trautman was getting heavily targeted. Just got unlucky with that touchdown going to Juwan Man, but it's all good, man. We're going to come back this week. We're going to get that TD. And like I told you guys, man, I feel like that game against Carolina, I feel like it's going to be a little bit of a high-scoring game, like for real, for real. I know it's crazy to say after what the defense did last week, the Saints defense, but it's just I really think the Panthers are like, man, we got nothing to lose here. We're going to let Robbie run. We're going to let DJ Moore run. We're going to let Terrace Marshall do his thing, CMC. They're going to run up the score. And then on the flip side, you know, I feel like the Saints, they got somebody in Trautman. Winston likes more, and we saw that because of the target share. He led them in target share. So I'm fading Juwan Man Johnson.
Yeah, man, I like that. I kind of could compare it a little bit to the whole Robbie Anderson thing I just spilled about follow the target. So, you know, I appreciate the backing on that.
Oh, my God.
Way to pat yourself on the back.
Two different players,
follow the targets, baby.
Two different players.
Follow the targets.
Two different players.
All right, well, I'll just jump into mine now. I got Cole Kmet, bear the fuck down.
Yes, sir.
Bear down.
Going against the Bengals, you know, I'm not too worried about the motherfucking Bengals and whoever the fuck they got. But last week we seen against the Rams, Cole Kmet, he's seen seven targets, five receptions, 42 yards. Didn't get the tutty, but I like the targets. I like him being out there, even for run plays as well. Man, this dude is a beast, and I think he's going to have a big season this year. And my thing is, Andy Dalton is not mobile at all. So I feel like who is he going to hit most? His running backs and his tight ends. I seen a running route tree on Instagram today, and nothing was more than 10 yards. I mean, this shit looked sad. There's no deep plays right there. So they're looking quick. They're looking fast. They're trying to get the ball out of Andy Dalton's hands quick. Another reason is because our line and pass protection isn't the best. The run protection looks a lot better, but pass protection isn't the best. And I like Cole Kmet. He's gonna eat a lot this year, Andy Dalton, and I think he's still gonna eat as well whenever Fields come in, when he extends the play, rolls out, because you already see Fields, he loves his tight ends in preseason. He ate with the tight end, I forgot what's his name.
Horsted.
He loves those tight ends, man. He loves those tight ends. So I expect Cole Kmet to eat all this year. My fade for the tight end position is motherfucking Gesicki again. Back to back. Last week
he's your forever fade.
Yeah. he had zero targets, zero. So
damn, donuts.
I'm doing this a little extra because some dude on fucking IG was talking shit between Gronk and Gesicki, and he said he'd rather have Gesicki, and I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding. And we all was seen what happened week one.
Take that,
so
take that.
Yeah, if you're listening, take you're that. An asshole.
not only are you a loser, but you're an asshole.
There you go.
You're an asshole.
Who the fuck picks fucking Gesicki over Gronk? So I don't know who's smoking that. Shit. I'm smoking that, and I'm not even doing that.
Let's go. Let's keep it rolling.
Check it out, big dog. Man, I roll into my tight ends, man. We got Gerald Everett, Seahawks versus Tennessee, who just got fucking torched by the Cardinals. His target share was really low, but definitely motherfucking got into the end zone. Found a sneaky way to get one in there. He's new. You know what I'm saying? And everything. I think it's going to take a couple more games to him to get solid over there with Seattle and everything else like that, though, too. But I don't think it'll be too long before him and motherfucking Dangerous motherfucking over there find a solid connection, bro. Dwayne Eskridge, hurt again. You know what I'm saying? I think he's in concussion. I think he's in some kind of concussion shit or whatever the fuck is going on. You know what I'm saying? If he ends up missing time, you know what I'm saying? I know Tyler Lockett. I know DK Metcalf. I know the guys over there. But, you know, you got it. And, you know, I know he shares with Disley and everything else like that, though, too. But the fact that he was able to find the end zone is definitely great for motherfucking fantasy motherfucking purposes. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind playing right the fuck again just because fucking just Dwayne Eskridge being hurt and motherfucking, you know what I'm saying, him being able to find the end zone right there. I'm not sure about that. And then motherfucking my fade of the motherfucking week is motherfucking Usama. Return of the Usama. At least that's what I get. Shout out Bogard. Return of the Usama. So, I mean, he got fucking Bengals going up against the Bears. Hey, he put up 5.5 fantasy points. Only had two receptions for fucking 35 yards. No TDs. Bro, man,
who
I think.
The fuck is that?
Way to go out on a limb, Drill. Way to go out.
No, I'm literally like, I'm serious. You said the Bengals tight end?
How about Chris Herndon?
CJ, Return of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Usama. That's who it is.
I'm gonna be right about
Secret
all the
Secret of the Usama. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah, Secret I'm all fucked up.
I mean, shit, really, like, man, you know what I'm saying? I look at everybody else's shit, and I'm like, okay.
Way to go on a limb, Drew. Way to go on a limb.
Hey, look, man, I think he's going to be more as a blocking motherfucker.
Watch him pop off somehow, some way. God damn.
Oh, 35 points.
No, negative. Not against the Bears. You guys better not be hoping that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's hoping that shit. Nobody's hoping that shit. Fuck that.
Bro, if he scores, I'm going to be so mad at Drill because he jinxed me.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to put that.
Why are you jinxed? He's a fade. He's a piece of shit. I mean, he's not fucking relevant. There you fucking go. He was like the last bit of the tight ends that I had to pick off besides the obvious ones that you would start anyway. You know what I'm saying? So fucking.
What is it, Jake Paul, Logan Paul, the bros, and we're going to make you fight all your tight end fades. It was Herndon last week, and it's going to be fucking CJ Secret or the Usama this week.
As long as I get paid as much as those motherfuckers and get to live in Puerto Rico in a fucking mansion, shit. I'm great.
Damn, we're there with you, man.
Let's go. I'm going to dive right into my tight end play of the week. Is going to be motherfucking a dude that I've never been high on at all. But this year he plays with a different offense that I'm actually fond of. Tight end Jared Cook of the Los Angeles Chargers versus Dallas. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know,
oh,
man.
Shit. I didn't know you picked him for real. I seen it, but I ain't see it.
Yeah, I hear you. Jared Cook versus the Cowboys. We saw what Gronk was able to do against the Cowboys. Jared Cook, man, he outsnapped the other two tight ends in week one. The other two tight ends had a combined 3 targets compared to Cook's 8. He's a safe play versus the Cowboys. Combined 3 targets. Cook's had 8. He's the by far the tight end 1. Justin Herbert likes to go to him when he can't find the likes of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So I'm loving it. He's a safe play versus the Cowboys and one that I'm looking at a high scoring affair there. Their defense does not scare me, so I would definitely play Cooks with confidence here in a world of tight ends that we live in that you can't really trust any. I just dropped some stats where you could actually trust this guy.
I like
he's getting he's out snapping and out targeting every tight end on his team. So, you know, safety blanket besides Eckler there for Justin Herbert. My tight end fade of the week, Kyle Pitts. That's just what it is, man. And like I said, the boy's talented. And a lot of people are talented, but their situations might be shitty. This is one of them. He's going up against one of the best defenses in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a linebacker core that's ridiculously talented. Devin White is a tight end killer. We saw him do it all year last year. We saw him do it in the Super Bowl against Travis Kelce. I don't see Kyle Pitts or any of those other tight ends or anybody for the Falcons really doing too much in this game. So if you have Kyle Pitts, I mean, don't buy into the name. Don't buy into the hype, man. They're going against Tampa Bay, and they're going to get shut down.
Kyle That's Pitts, bullshit.
And like I said,
they finna start him.
Listen, Kyle Pitts is locked and loaded on my squad against you this week in the Money League. And I'll tell you one thing about Kyle Pitts. He's not your traditional tight end. He does not line up in a tight end position all the time. But even if he does, guess what? Tampa Bay gave up 9 catches last week to tight ends. That's a lot, last time I checked. So I'll take 9 catches from a fucking tight end. And if Kyle Pitts gets 9 catches, he's going to ball the fuck out. And I'm going to fucking talk shit to your ass next
week. That's a combination of tight ends, right? That wasn't one player.
Who else is they going to play but Kyle Pitts in Atlanta?
Brody picking all your players,
he's
Brody.
Picking all my players. But you know what? going off of your fade list last week, that makes me feel real good.
That's because they play each other. Let the wars be.
Hey, this is the ballsy fade segment, man. I'm going in on players that a lot of people are going to start. And I'm telling you, sit the fucking guys.
These Fornicator guys sit list.
Hey, he's starting. I'm firing him up. J-Rub's the only one, but that's because I got options. Kyle Pitts, he's locked and loaded.
Next week's show is going to be retarded.
It's going to be a lot of good matchups.
Let's go, man.
Me and Brody really smacked each other up in leagues. He smacked me, and I smacked him back.
Jared Cook is on the waiver wire.
Yeah.
Jared Cook is an option for you, Brody, instead of Kyle Pitts, just letting you know.
No, I'm good.
go pick up that old 1974 Cadillac.
Nah, I'm a roll. And you know another thing about Kyle Pitts, though? Like, he lines up out in the wide receiver slots, bro. He hold on, I got this right. He did 23 routes from the slot position and 14 routes out wide. So he's
perception,
not your
perception.
He's not.
But I think just to piggyback, on Fornicator, what he's saying, I think they're going to use him even more differently the next game, because they know they got to get him out wide. They got to change things up. They got to get him the ball. They got to get Ridley the ball different ways, some way, somehow, because only Matt Ryan, 164 yards and a total offense, man, everybody's going to bust if this keeps happening. So they got to do something. And they're going against the number one defense.
Run defense for sure.
Yeah, I was really excited when you called your fade quarterback Renegade as Matt Ryan. So yeah, I was excited because at the back end of it, I had Kyle Pitts, and it kind of coincided. It was
I definitely with you on that.
Kyle Pitts could still catch 5 to 7 catches and still have 60 yards or so, and I'll be straight with that, considering the defense. So that's where I'm at with it. But if he scores a touchdown, that's a boom of a week right there.
Yep, sir. Touchdowns always save the tight end's ass the time.
Sir.
That's always every fucking tight end's touchdown dependent, basically up to number 3.
You should have faded Usoma
up to them top 3. Usoma.
All right, man. We don't close it out, man. So
hate mail if he pops off.
From us,
right?
I am Usoma.
You guys got anything before we head up out of here?
Bear the fuck down.
No, man, just we keep dropping these gems, man, and you know, don't use this as just a play and fade segment. You know, go pick some of these guys up in those shadow leagues that you might be in. You know, a lot of these guys are out there, and you know, listen to us every now and then. You know, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong.
Play and fades, that episode drops. You guys are listening now. It drops on Thursday, so it'll get you guys right for the weekend. We got the waiver wire episode that drops on Tuesdays. Actually, this episode is going to drop, you know, Wednesday night. So you guys will have it for Thursday on your ride to work and shit like that. The waiver wire and the Chicago Bears recap drops Monday nights. But, you know, for your rides Tuesday morning when you guys go to work and shit like that, you guys got it right there. So that's pretty much the schedule right now. If anything happens in between, we'll let you guys know. But that would have to be like some crazy breaking news and shit like that. So, but usually for that, you guys will catch us on IG Live. So make sure you follow all of us. All the links will be in the description. We appreciate the love. We appreciate the support. Bear the fuck down, baby. We'll catch you guys in the next one.